Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
The American Academy of Pediatrics released a list of specific tests or treatments that are commonly given to children, but they may not always be necessary. And as part of the Choosing Wisely campaign, it's an initiative of the ABIM Foundation, and it lists five targeted evidence-based recommendations that can support a conversation between patients and physicians about what care is really necessary. And my guest is Dr. Rhonda Ekelanu, I think I pronounced that right. So, Dr. Ekelanu, speak about the Choosing Wisely campaign and the five recommendations on the AAP's list for us.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So, exactly as you said, the American Academy of Pediatrics is a very proud partner with the ABIM on this Choosing Wisely campaign. And this entire campaign is to help raise awareness of the need to very thoughtfully think about tests and treatments very carefully. And we all are obviously very concerned about the safety of the child and the health of the child, but we also want to make sure that we are utilizing appropriate healthcare resources and that we are not unnecessarily doing tests. And I think for children who are very vulnerable to certain tests and to radiation from CT scans and things like that, that it even adds another element of importance to really think very closely about our resource utilization and to make sure that we are really taking care of kids with informed, evidence-based literature. So the five treatments and tests that were chosen by the members of the American Academy of Pediatrics are five of the common things that we see and that parents that we hope to actually have a very educational conversation about with our families and patients that we see. So the number one is antibiotics should not be used for apparent viral respiratory illnesses. And those include sinusitis, pharyngitis, bronchitis, things like that. And the reason for that is that obviously these are, again, viruses. And antibiotics do not do anything to treat a virus. That is mostly supportive care, and that the prescription for the antibiotics does not really do anything to actually cure the child of the virus.
Now, even though, doctor, because parents are always asking for antibiotics, and we know that we have this sort of overuse of antibiotics in this country for everything. People ask for them, as you say, for viruses and for anything else. So as a pediatrician, what are you going to say now based on this to a parent who says, well, she's got pharyngitis or she's got a sinus infection. We really need an antibiotic.
So what? I'm going to obviously have a very hopefully great conversation with the family about why the family thinks they need the antibiotic. A lot of times it's just that people just don't understand the fact that antibiotics do not actually treat viruses. I've had plenty of families that have said, oh, I actually didn't realize that. I thought that this was going to help my child's virus. I've had other people that didn't realize that viruses really do cause a lot of the infections in kids. And so once we try to hopefully have that conversation, then it goes on to the fact that research does not show that the antibiotics do anything to change the length of the illness. They do anything to get the kids better any faster. And if anything, they actually have side effects. So you mentioned the resistance patterns is what you're alluding to, obviously, is that the fact they were causing problems by overuse of antibiotics, and that when it comes time for us to actually use the antibiotics for what we actually need them for, if we're using them in situations where we don't actually need them, we might run into a situation where they don't work when we actually need them to work. And on top of that, antibiotics cause side effects. And so, you know, there's side effects of vomiting and diarrhea. So if you want to treat a child for something that they have one illness and you inappropriately prescribe antibiotics for a virus, then you sometimes will add on another problem. So if a child has, like you said, a pharyngitis and a sore throat, then you add on an antibiotic that causes them to have vomiting. Well, now you've added on another problem simply because you gave a medicine that they actually did not need.
Okay, and the next one's kind of a big one as well, the cough and cold medicines.
Yes. So cough and cold medicine should not be prescribed or recommended for respiratory illnesses in children under 4 years of age. And again, similar with the antibiotics and the virus, in the viral infections, research has not been shown that these products really offer very little benefit to young children. And the best thing to do is more of the supportive care. You know, we always say that sometimes grandma's remedy about chicken noodle soup, we found that that actually does have some benefit these days. And obviously drinking plenty of fluids and things like that really work better than any cough or cold medicine because those medicines haven't been shown to be helpful. And again, just like with antibiotics, there's side effects. A lot of these cough and cold medicines are combination medications, and so there might be Tylenol in or acetaminophen listed in them. And then if you're also giving your child acetaminophen because they have fever, well, then you run the risk of potentially overdosing your child on something.
That's right, and we've been hearing about that for a little while now, so move on to the next one, CT scans.
So CT scans, and there's two that refer to CT scans or neuroimaging. The first one talks about CT scans not being necessary for the immediate evaluation of minor head traumas and minor head injuries, and the other one actually brings in MRIs and says that neuroimaging, including a head CT or MRI, are not necessary in the child with a simple febrile seizure. And for those, there's great criteria out there that we as pediatricians use from a group called PCARN, and they've come up with great criteria for when you should evaluate when imaging is indicated. But again, radiation of a CT scan for a child that is young, their brain tissue is very sensitive to this radiation. And so we run the risk of exposing them unnecessarily and then being concerned about brain tumors and cancer later on in life.
Well, you know, and doctor, because my child had a febrile seizure, but this was 10 years ago, and they did a CT, you know, and she was rushed into a trauma and, you know, all this other stuff. But now with all the evidence and things of concussion and all the awareness of concussion, is this going to affect that?
So it might affect that. Like you said, there's a lot of literature coming out about concussions. And I think a lot of this plays into the history and the physical examination that the pediatrician obtains, whether it's in the office or in the emergency department. We're not saying that these imaging modalities should never be used, but it should be guided by the history and physical. In the child who has the routine, simple febrile seizure, and there's a difference between the simple and the complex febrile seizure, in a child that has a concussion that is deemed minor, then these imaging modalities are not necessary. The risk-benefit is not going to be helpful. But in other situations, it might be very appropriate to get the CT scan. So it's all going to depend on what you hear.
And there is another CT scan for abdominal pain.
Yes. So CT scans not being necessary for routine evaluation of abdominal pain. Again, literature has not been shown that it's actually been helpful. And again, you run the risk of having radiation exposure to children when they don't need it. And again, children are at a very vulnerable point in their life where these ionizing radiation can be hurtful to them more than helpful. A lot of routine abdominal pain should be guided by history and physical, maybe some blood work, maybe sometimes an ultrasound. But CT scans are great and they're quick, and we found that for years we were using them more often because we had access to them. But now we're realizing that we don't actually need to use them as often for routine evaluation of abdominal pain.
Well, and because kids come up with so much abdominal pain and for so many reasons, and most of the time it's constipation.
Exactly.
And so I wouldn't think that we need to be paying for CT scans because we find out that our child's constipated. Maybe they just need a little bit more fiber. Now, in the last minute, please wrap this up as far as the Choosing Wisely campaign and how parents such as myself can take this and use it to start a conversation with our doctor. Will our doctors think we're being rude if we start questioning some of these tests?
Absolutely not. We encourage families to actually to talk to us and to be a part of the conversation and taking the best care of their child. Again, we know that our main concern is that child's safety, but we want to make sure that we are utilizing healthcare resources, and we also know that families want to partner with us, that parents want to do the best they can for their children, and they don't want to use unnecessary tests or treatments that could eventually hurt their child later on. And so we encourage families to be a part of this conversation. We want to make sure that we are giving them evidence-based literature and really working to take the best care of the child.
And it is called the Choosing Wisely campaign by the ABIM Foundation in partnership with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and it does help you to start that conversation with your doctor about cough and cold medicine and antibiotic use and CT scans and tests that might be more harmful than they're going to prove to be helpful in this case. So choose wisely, discuss it with your doctor, start the conversation, because we are ourselves and our children's best advocate. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.